So, as many of you know, Pastor Larry is in Iowa this morning. He went to his 50th class reunion. Wow. And so he sent me some pictures, and I said, boy, those people look old. Somehow we see the oldness in other people, and we don't always, you know, see it in ourselves. So he'll be back on Tuesday. And so I'm speaking this morning on his behalf. So this morning in our time together, I want us to talk about the title of the message, which is called Under Construction. Now, this is not a fireman's hat. This is a construction hat. Oh, by the way, I did want to give a shout out to our first responders. Who were there very quickly at Mary's house. So if you see those folks, they do a valuable service in our community. So we always want to be grateful for them as well. So we're going to talk about being under construction this morning, but I want us to specifically think about the biblical meaning of what it means to be under construction. Now, how many of you have ever been in a construction zone? How many of you just said, thank God I get to go through one again? Oh, Kevin's the only oddball because he works in construction, so it means something different to him. So we're familiar with construction zones, and for the most part, at least I do, we avoid them if we can. And how often is it when we're going down the road and we see the sign that says 5 miles construction ahead, and you're like, really? You know, we're not anxious to go through those construction zones. And so for most part, if we could avoid them, we would. And that's because we're usually on a determined mission. We have some place that we want to get to, and we don't have time to be stuck in a construction zone. So in your sermon notes, when we talk about what a construction zone is, let me just be clear. Construction zones are not the places of peace and contentment. In fact, most people would say that they are messy places, they are dangerous places, and oftentimes unsightly places to look at. And all the construction zones have lots of bumps. There's usually lane changes, there's starts, there's stops, there are backup delays, there are falling hazards. Frankly, they are dirty and they're noisy. And so we like to avoid those kinds of places. Now, however, if we were to talk to people like Kevin or other engineers, they would look at the construction zone totally different. In their eyes, they would say it's a beautiful thing that is going to be happening because they look at it, and despite all the chaos, they are the ones that envision and know what the end product is going to look like. Now, I remember for many months, remember in Binghamton? Before, as you're going into Binghamton, they had, and like, man, roads were going everywhere in every direction. I'm like, will they ever get done with this? Now I'm more like, man, I'm glad they did because it really makes things a little bit more convenient. So for someone who is an engineer or an architect, they know what they're looking at, and they're looking at the process of progress, knowing that at the end it's going to be better for all of us. So this morning I want us to think about spiritual construction zones in our life, what they may look like, and why they matter to us as Christians. So if you were to look in the scriptures, the verses are all over that remind us that God, in fact, is at work within us and that we should actually embrace those moments. I think there's a slide I want you to put up there, Jake. It's the one right behind it. And that's not the one. There should be the one right after that, right after the construction zone. It should be, do you get the one right after the, nope, not that. Okay, we're just going to go ahead and skip that. So anyway, we need to embrace, there was a little guy there somewhere that says we need to embrace the messy construction zones in our life. And that's not always an easy thing. There you go there. Good job. So there it is. We want to embrace the mess. That's me. Yeah. We want to embrace the mess because the reality is we're all under construction. right? God is doing something in each of you this morning. I may not know it. In fact, you may not even recognize it yet, but guaranteed that you are in some construction zone this morning. So the one thing is, in your notes, I've also said that construction zones, I want to be real clear, they're not age specific. If you're 85 years old, you can be in a construction zone. If you're a teenager, you're in a construction zone. If you're a young adult, you're in a construction zone. So it doesn't matter what age you are when we encounter construction zones. And nor, let me be clear, it does not have anything to do with your spiritual status. In other words, you may come to life groups, and you may come to the prayer times on Wednesdays. You may be at every event in the church. But that doesn't exempt us for being in God's construction zone at all. So in your sermon listening guide, I want to first lay out two anchor verses that will help us get moving in this direction. The first one is in your sermon listening guide in Ephesians chapter 2, 21 to 22. So let's read that together. This entire building is under construction and is continually growing under his supervision, until it rises up, completed as the holy temple of the Lord himself. Now, let me explain. When it says the entire building, it's not talking about a physical building. Okay? It is talking about the church, the universal church that Christ himself laid the foundation for. So it says the church is under what? If you circle the words, under construction. And the second word you can circle is continually growing. That the church will die the moment it's no longer under construction. Because as a church, God expects us to continually to grow. That's why we have life groups. That's why we have prayer times. That's why we have ministry retreats. So first of all, the church, the way God ordained it, is in the process of continually growing, and it is under construction. I'm glad this church is under construction in the spiritual term. So the scripture here, in this case, it is the mission of the church under Christ. The mission for the church is that we are under construction. We are under the construction of the lordship of Jesus Christ himself. So I want us to now read the second verse, which is found in 1 Timothy chapter 4. Be sure to use the gift God gave you. The leaders saw this in you when they laid down their hands on you and said what you should do. Think about all this. Don't be diverted. Work at it so everyone may see you are growing as a Christian. Now, there's two words I want you to circle in that verse. Did you see them? Work at it. You have to work at it when you're in a construction zone. So the first part, it's the mission of the church. This particular verse, this is the personal side, if you're filling that in. This is the personal side of construction. And Jake has a slide for that one as well. So get the point. We as a church are under construction. You as an individual are also under construction as well. So let's get started. I want to narrow it down to four different types of road signs that you and I have often seen when we're traveling up and down the road. And so the first construction sign that I want to talk about, it simply says under construction. And I think, is there a slide right behind that one, Jake, as well? There you go. So in this phase, I like, if you could just think this morning and say to yourself, I am under construction, right? Thank you for your patience. Thank you, Deb. So construction zones are not happy places. They're not the place that we like to be, but they are a part of life. So when we're under construction, this again is not the sign that I like to see that says construction ahead or this place is under construction, because it's an indication of unknown places and there's going to be chaos in the work zone. So at this point, we don't even know where we're going to be. We don't know what kind of construction that's happening. We don't know the length of time that it's going to take us to get through the construction zone. We don't know how many obstacles are going to be in the construction zone. Selfishly, we only know it's not the place that I want to be. Like, I want to get to my destination. I don't have time for all of this construction. So if we go through the scriptures, there's a lot of scriptures that talk about being under construction. If you look at the life of Jesus in the New Testament, the ministry for 3.5 years was under construction. And how often we'll say Jesus was going to go here, but the town did not receive him. And what did they do? They went another direction. There was a change in the construction plans. So I also want us to look at another example this morning in the Old Testament. I think the best example is in the book of Genesis, and it's the life of Joseph. And most of us know Joseph as the young man portrayed in Sunday school that usually has him dressed in the robe of many colors. It looks pretty nice and, you know, pretty glorious. And so we have what we call glorified this thing about Joseph, but there was really so much more to know about Joseph. So just a little bit of background. Joseph was the baby of the family, and he happened to be dad's favorite. So the first thing that we learned is Joseph was 17 years old when he comes on to the scene. So in fact, in verse 37, verses 3 to 4 in your notes, let's read that together. Now Jacob loved Joseph more than any other of his other sons. When his brothers saw that the father loved him more than any of them, they hated him and could not speak a kind word. So let's be honest. Joseph was not the perfect child. I'm sure that he probably knew he was the favorite, and the other brothers felt like he was getting more than his share of attention. Maybe he didn't have to do all the chores. I don't know. But there was this animosity towards Joseph, and so it actually boiled up and came to a point. The short story is jealousy from the other brothers took over, and we know what the story says. They took him out one day, and they sold him to a caravan that was passing by. And then they went back, and so they took his coat, they dipped it in blood, they took it back to dad and said, we have some really bad news. This beast came along and it killed Joseph, and now here's the robe with the blood on it, which was a big lie, right? But can you imagine Joseph's father, which is another story, all these years, he's grieving for a son who actually was alive for the whole part. So Joseph now was about to go under the biggest construction zone of his life. Here's what we know about that, and we don't have time to go into all the details of Joseph, but here's what I can tell you. Joseph was lied about multiple times. All the lies were untrue. Joseph then spent time in prison for crimes he did not do. Joseph was accused of rape, which he did not do, among other things. So here we find Joseph not only sold to a caravan, but now he's being accused of things that never did. And we know what happened, right? Joseph ended up in prison for these types of things. And in fact, if you look at the scriptures, it was probably about 13 long years until justice was served. Can you imagine going 13 years for things that you didn't commit, right? You were lied about, you were accused of things, you were accused of rape, and you're like, I don't know about you, I'd be a little bit angry. In fact, I would be saying at the moment to God, don't you think this is a little bit unfair? You know, I did not do anything, and now I'm being made out to be the victim. So I can imagine him questioning God as to why this was happening. Has any of us ever questioned God like, God, why am I going through this? Like, what are you trying to do? I don't think I can really take any more of it. And so Joseph had, and I want you to know it's okay. It's okay to have those kinds of conversations with God. And you can find a lot of those, in fact, through the scriptures. So Joseph had been cut off from his family, thrown into prison, wrongly accused. But here's the point, folks. God had a plan. Now, was it Joseph's plan? No. And we'll see in a little bit how God took and made something beautiful out of that. So here's what I know, that there's, if you read the scriptures about Joseph, that during his 13 years of trials, and it's in your note, three times the word of the Lord came to Joseph, and it says what? The Lord was with him. Can you say that? The Lord was with him. That's the only thing I think Joseph could hang on to in this construction zone of a life, because it wasn't making any sense to him at all what God was doing with his life. Now, we know that the short story is that Joseph was eventually elevated. He was the leader over all of the country of Egypt, even though he was an Israelite. He changed the whole nation of Egypt during famine. Joseph eventually saved his own families from starvation. He saved the nation of Israel. And so during those years of construction and during those years of suffering where God was teaching him things in his soul that only he could see, here's the point. God was at work. And so when you're going through something and it doesn't make sense, you just have to know God's at work, even though you don't know what the other side is going to look like. So the good news is Joseph finally met his brothers, right? Because they were starving. So the father sent them to Egypt, see if they could get some food and things. And so Joseph finally met his brothers. Now, I don't know about you, but when I would see them, I'd be like, now's my moment, right? You did me dirty. And I've been in prison, and I have suffered unjustly, and now you're coming to get food from me. Now, this isn't in your sermon listing guide, but if you're to look at Genesis chapter 45, verses 5 to 7, this was Joseph's response. It would not have probably in my flesh have been mine. And Joseph says to his brothers, and now do not be angry with yourselves for selling me, because, three words, God sent me ahead of you to preserve you. Now, that takes a lot of, that means something, that means God was doing something in Joseph's heart during those 13 years for him to be able to say, when we would be thinking all everything anger and like, this is my moment, and he just said to them, God sent me ahead of you. He was beginning to see that what they meant for evil, God was taking that and now has turned it to good, not just for him, but for the whole nation of Israel. So here's the question. So what's your Joseph story this morning? Has there been anything happened to you that doesn't make any sense? And I suspect some of you would say yes. Or what trial have you been in? Or what trial in life are you about to enter? So, you know, the construction zone is the place that God is working to create a better you. Do you believe that? It's in the construction zone that God is working to create a better you. So when you're in God's construction zone, we don't know how long it will take. We don't know all of the twists and the turns. And there'll be no doubt a lot of dark days there were for Joseph. And most of the time there were more questions than answers, and that's typical in life. Sound familiar? So however, here's what I want to say. We can learn to say, as Joseph did, those words, the Lord is with me. Will you say that again? The Lord is with me. So I want you to know this morning, in your construction zone, though it's undifficult and though it's unpleasant and though it doesn't even make sense, if you can hang on to, as Joseph did, the Lord is with me. The second construction zone that I want to talk about, or the road sign we often see, when we see this one, it says road closed or detour. Now, this is a sign I most dread. If you've seen those before, right? My mind goes in every direction. First of all, I'm not going to get to the destination I want to go. Not only is it a detour, the road is completely closed. And now they're going to send me who knows how many miles. You ever been on those where you go here and you're looking for the next sign, and then you're looking for the next sign, and like, you know, you eventually get on the, not, I don't mean to make fun of you, Kevin, but we don't like it. So... But as an architect, they know what's on the other end, so they know it's going to be for our good. So it's one thing to enter a construction zone, but it's another thing to see that dreaded sign says road closed and detour, and then my mind goes all over the place, like, okay, God, what are you doing now, right? There are all kinds of detours and road closed in life. There are health issues. There are job-related issues. There are relationship issues. There are financial detours. You name it, there are all kinds of detours that we will face in this life. And so this sign tells us right up front, you're going to have to take another route for a period of time, And here's what you need to know about usually when it means a road closed. Number one, it's inconvenient. Number two, it's very unsettling and maybe a bit scary because the detour is now going to take you in a direction that you have not been before, and it's probably going to take you longer. There's nothing worse than getting on a detour that you don't know where you're going. And life is like that. You can wake up tomorrow and there'll be another detour in your life. So where'd my scriptures go? Okay. So this sign, when we think about it, Jesus and his disciple, I referred to earlier, was on different detours. But I want to look at about a different person who experienced a road closed in the Bible. And that is the story of Paul and Barnabas. So in your notes, would you read Acts chapter 15 with me, please? So here we have, Paul and Barnabas and Silas and John Mark, and they had just got the road closed sign, and God said, there's a detour ahead. Now, what I like about this, I want to be real clear, all of these men were godly men, and they were wholly devoted unto the mission of the Lord. However, what they didn't know is God had other plans. And so this was not a minor tiff. This was a major disagreement in the body of Christ about who should go on the trip and then who would go with them. So here's the question. Was God at work in the detour? It's in your notes. Yes, he was. Did they know it? No, right? So through this detour, God knew exactly what he was doing. In fact, because of this, there would now be two missionary teams instead of one. Instead of just Paul and Silas, there's going to be Barnabas and John Mark. And what that meant would there be many, many, many more people reached for the gospel of Jesus than if there had just been one missionary team. So God took what looked like was a disaster, which was really a detour, created hard feelings, and out of that, you have a multiplication of more missionaries and more people being able to know about the love of Jesus. Now, I like to say this. Paul and Silas went one way. If you take Paul and Silas, it means P.S. And then I was thinking in my warped mind this morning, and then it says Barnabas and John Mark, they went another way. Well, Barnabas and John Mark spells BJ's, so I think that's where BJ's got its name. Not really. But it's just the way that my mind was working at the moment. But, sometimes detours in life don't make sense. And so through this detour that sent four men in two different directions, God was about to make something good. In fact, we know he made something good because later when Paul was in prison in Rome, he makes this request of Timothy. And this is what he said in 1 Timothy 4:11. He says, "Go get Mark and bring him with you, because he is helpful to me in my ministry." Now, was God doing a work of construction in Paul's heart? Because they left with some pretty hard feelings, right? And now you find Paul later in his life saying, would you bring this young man? Would you bring John Mark to me? He's a good minister, and I think he can help me. I love the story of this particular construction zone. So for us this morning, we have to ask the question, so what roads seem closed for you at the moment? What roads do you think are closed? What are the detours? And here's what I want to assure you, is God's detours are not meant to harm you. God's detours are not meant to harm you. Are they unpleasant? Yes, they are. Do we always see the final picture of what God is doing? No, we do not. Will you ever totally know the reason for the detour? Maybe yes, but maybe not. The only thing we can go back and say is Joseph said, "But I know this, the Lord was with me." We sing the song, Waymaker, And in fact, we're going to sing it at the close of the service. And I was doing the sermon, and this song kept coming to my mind, and we know the words. Even when I don't see it, you're working. Even when I don't feel it, you're working. You never stop. You never stop working. That's the God that we serve. So you will find yourself in the Waymaker land that you don't see it, you don't feel it. And the only thing you can say is, God, somehow I know you're going to work this to my good. Amen? You know, most of our detours in life, they're not planned. I think, Jake, that's slide 73. Well, it's coming up like that. We don't plan detours in life. They just happen. We're not expecting them. With Mary Charles, she didn't go to bed that night thinking there's going to be a fire in the house. And now she's on a detour. And God out of this will bring goodness. We know that he will. In fact, if you are in a detour and you're in a no man's land and it doesn't make sense, it's where we go to that wonderful verse we know in Romans 8:28. We know that, right? For God works good together, but the key is for them who are called according to God's purpose. So I want to give you that assurance this morning. The third construction sign that we often come upon in life is the one I want to share next. This is the one that's just simply called stop. This can be the toughest part of the construction. Have you ever seen a guy like that before? I was talking first to Tim Latterett. I've seen him, Allison Charles. Like, you guys are not the guys I want to see because I don't want to stop. I want to keep moving. So it's one thing to slow up as you do in construction zone. It's another thing when you have to come to a complete stop. And so again, at this point, we're looking at the stop sign. We don't know what's on the other side. We don't know. We're just waiting, like, would you please turn that says go slow? So we don't know how long we're going to have to stay and wait with the stop sign flashing in front of us. All we know is we're going to have to change directions. There's going to be many questions as we go forward. When I was thinking about this, when I'm at a stop sign, it just rocks my boat. And I don't know about you, I don't like rocking boats. Like, I just want to get to where I want to go. A good example of this is in the book of Habakkuk. Habakkuk is an Old Testament prophet. It's all of three chapters. And it's a marvelous book. If you've not read it, I'd recommend that you do that. And here's why I like it. You know what I like about the scriptures? They are authentic, they are transparent, and they give you the good, bad, and the ugly. And we learn from those examples of these individuals. So Habakkuk was called by God. He was a prophet of God. So if you look at the first two chapters, Habakkuk right now, who's under construction, he is not happy with God. How many of you have never been not happy with God? Most of us have, right? So Habakkuk is like, okay, I am not happy, God, with what's going on. And in fact, he begins to throw out a bunch of questions to God, like, what are you doing? You've called me to give this prophecy, and now I don't see you doing anything. And so he's ranting and he's raving before God. So only thing Habakkuk sees is chaos, frustration, injustice, and he's left to wonder, where's God in all of this? So I want you to know it's okay. We've all been there, right? There are times when we say to God, I don't know what you're doing. I don't know what this might mean for me. I don't know what this might mean for my family. So we're familiar with that. So in Habakkuk chapter 1, I think it's in your notes as well. You can just follow along. Habakkuk says to the Lord, Lord, how long? How long must I call for help? And you're not listening to me. You ever feel like God's not listening? I do. Like, I don't hear anything. So when it talks about when he calls for help, it's meaning, look, how long do I have to stay at this stop sign in life? Another verse, which is in your sermon listening guide, you can read it together, is in Numbers chapter 9, verse 8. Let's read it together. And Moses said unto them, stand still, and I will hear what the Lord will command concerning you. So here's Moses. with a bunch of grumbling people. And during the 40 years in the desert, they're all under construction. And you know who they go to all the time? Moses. And so here they are bringing yet another complaint to Moses, and this was Moses' words to them. He said, Moses said unto them, stand still, and then I will hear what the Lord will command concerning you. There are moments when we just have to stand still, right? We don't know what else to do. And so Moses says, here's what you need to do. Slow your engines. Would you just stand still for a little bit? Here's what I can tell you. You know, God always has a purpose when the stop sign of life is on. It's in your notes. It's on the screen as well. God always has a purpose when the stop sign of life is displayed. Because when you stop, what it does, it begins to bring clarity to the situation. When you're moving, you can't think. All you're trying to do is get through the obstacles, right? But when you're stopped, all of a sudden your mind starts to think about things. So I would tell you that if you have a stop sign in your life, that stopping brings clarity to the situation, and it will give God an opportunity to speak to you in ways that he can't speak when you're always on the move. Now, this is not in your notes, but I want to give you another scripture from the book of Proverbs, chapter 4, verses 25 and 27. Here the wisest man of the world said, ponder the path of your feet, and then all of your ways will be sure. And do not swerve to the right or to the left, and do not turn your foot away, and turn your foot away from evil. You know what he says? He says, ponder the path of your feet. Slow down. Take a deep breath. And say, God, what do you want me to hear? What do you want me to know about this? So here's an important question as we think about this third road sign. Where in your life this morning do you need to stop and get perspective? I bet there's a lot of things going through your mind right now. So where in your life do you need to stop and get perspective about a life situation? It could be a relationship issue. Again, it could be a work issue. It could be an anger issue. It could be a family issue. There's a lot of reasons where God's trying to get our attention and to be able to speak to us. And when we're at the stop signs of life, he has a chance to do that. So the fourth construction sign I want us to look at, and this one we always like. So this is the fourth one. After we've stopped, we're under construction, we're under road detours. Have you ever seen this? Thank you at the end. I love it. Thank you. Resume speed. There you go. I love that one. It's like, okay, you're ready to go forward. But there's a timing to it. You got to go through the construction zone. You got to heed the stops in your life. And at some moment, God will say, okay, keep on going. In your sermon notes, I particularly like this question. In Isaiah, or the question really is, how do we know when it's time to resume speed? How do you know when it's time to go forward? That's a good question, isn't it? So Isaiah, in chapter 30, verse 21, it's in your notes. I'd invite you to read that with me together. Let's read it together. Your own eyes will hear him. And right behind you, a voice will say, this is the way you should go. I'm sorry, I said your own eyes. It's supposed to be your own ears, right? This is good advice, isn't it? So there's always people coming to the prophets of the Lord like, Lord, when? And so Isaiah says, well, here's my advice. He said, your own ears, you will hear God's voice. That means God, in those moments of stopping, has a message for you. Your own ears will hear them. If you want to circle that, your own ears will hear him. And I love it. And then as you listen, right behind you, you will hear a voice that will say, this is the way you should go. Those are the thank you, Jesus moments, right? Like, oh, I've been waiting for this answer. Now I know what you want me to do, Lord. So I love that advice from my Isaiah. So I'm going to leave you as we wrap up this morning. There's a parting verse I want to leave with you. And then one slide. The one is in your notes, Philippians 1:6. It's also going to be on the screen there. So let's read this verse together. Being confident of this, that who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Jesus. There's two really powerful words. It's on the screen. First of all, you got to be confident. Now, the confidence means, Lord, I don't know what you're doing. I don't know how this is ending. But, Lord, I am going to be confident because it's the God who I serve, right? And then the second part, if you want to circle that, this same God, he says, and I'm going to carry it on until completion. You notice after that, it says until the day of Jesus Christ. Do you know what that means? Until the day you die. You will be under construction at some point or another, but God will carry it on, right? And he says, I will be faithful to you. This is a humorous slide. I want you to see this one, slide number 81. The best of me is yet to come. I want you to turn to somebody this morning, because you're all in the construction, and just say to them, the best of me is yet to come. Thank you, Jared. Sometimes you have to say, Lord, and be patient, because the best is going to take some work. But I think God wants the best for you this morning. And if you'll walk with him, if you'll walk with him, and when you don't understand, you just have to say, the Lord's with me. Don't know what it means. Don't know what I'm going to do with it. But if I can keep coming back to that as Joseph it did, the Lord is with me. The last slide I want to show you is a tombstone. It's not the way to end a message, is it? In preparing the message and doing some research, we all know Billy Graham. And this is his wife, Ruth Graham. This is what's written on her tombstone. It is said that she had been through and seen a lot of construction zones, and she said, this is what I want on my tombstone. End of construction. Thank you for your patience. Isn't that precious? She knew until the day she died she was under construction. And then that last breath, she could say, hallelujah. The construction has ended. She's probably saying to the Lord and her family, and thank you for the patience. Isn't God good? Isn't he patient? So I want to encourage you this morning that construction zones don't have to be scary, ugly places. Okay, Kevin? But we have a lot that we can learn. And I've got a long ways to go. Do you? Amen.